samples. For bees to populate, others will come. Need new bodies. Some won't survive, need new bodies. D. Do you think that everyone they've done things like this to are going to go? P. No. Some don't want to. It was a strange concept, but it began to sound like the aliens knew something was going to happen to our Earth. In anticipation, they were preparing another planet for migration. Some humans would be taken in their earthly physical bodies to inhabit that new world. Others would apparently die here, but their spirits could travel to the new world, if they wished, and reincarnate in physical bodies that would be similar to those left on Earth, and therefore would be familiar to them. A strange and awesome concept. Could this be one of the motives behind the experimentation being conducted by the aliens? Not only the analyzing and observation of our species' evolvement and reaction to disease and environmental influences, but the continual search for a perfection of our species. This was the original plan that had been spoiled by the weeds that had entered the garden at the time of the meteor crash. This was what had dashed their hopes, at that time, of creating a perfect world free of defects and disease. Even though they had to settle for the lesser development as our species adjusted to its surroundings, it seemed that they had not given up on their dream of creating a utopia, a second Garden of Eden, for humankind. A strange concept, but then everything connected with this project had been strange and original to my mind. Terror in the Night, 225, D. Well, is there anything else in that room where the holograph is that you can see? Surprised. A message, a message from someone. Someone. For me. A message to me. D. What do you mean? P. I don't know. He was finding this emotional and exciting. There's a message there for me. From someone. Someone I knew. His voice was quivering, a small, sort of square box. Someone long ago. A reminder. Emphatic, a message from me long ago. To myself. To remember. To remember the purpose. Softly, that's it. From me to me. But from a long, long time ago. Different worlds. Different lives. His tone of voice on the tape sent shivers through me. Apparently I was not so affected during the session, as my voice sounded calm. D. Is it a written message that you're looking at or what? P. Far more than I can comprehend in this form. But it's there. I recognize it. I remember it. There was a definite sadness in his voice. I built that. Pause. These are friends. D. You said you had the feeling there were more people on board. P. Yes. Others. Other parts of the ship. D. I'm just curious if you could see how this ship was operated. P. I don't have any idea. I have absolutely no idea. It's way beyond me. I don't want to know. D. Is there anything in that room that you can describe? P. Windows. Knobs. Lights. Dials of some sort. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what it is. I don't even know if this is real. Honest to God, this is not anything I've ever seen before. I don't know what it is. D. Is that room light like the others? P. Yeah. All over. Only it doesn't come from anywhere. It's just there. D. What about the floor? Is it made out of anything particular? P. Hard. Gray. It almost seems porous. God. I hope the ship's not alive. His voice was becoming frightened. I don't know. Is it? D. I don't know. What do you mean? P. Is it alive? Maybe the damn ship is alive? I don't know. That, 226, the keepers of the garden, thing was. Maybe their machines are alive. He was now definitely frightened. D. Maybe it's just some kind of a material that we don't understand. P. Hugh's becoming increasingly agitated. I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. D. I tried to calm him. That's all right. You don't have to know if you don't want to. P. I don't want to know. D. All right. I tried to get his attention off it by changing the subject. Did they show you anything else? P. A big sigh. So many questions. I don't know. I want to know, but I don't want to know. D. I can understand. It's a little too much. P. I'm afraid to find out. There are some things I don't want to know because I know I don't want to know. D. That's all right. You don't have to. You can only take away Thaddeus in hand, and that's all that you need to know. Well, did he leave ship the eventually? P. I don't remember. Don't know how. Don't know. Time to go, someone said. Last thing I know. A spark or a flash, the last I know. D. What do you mean, a spark or a flash? P. I don't know. Some sort of spark or a flash. Time to go. Flash. I don't know. D. And then where were you? P. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't want to know. D. All right. That's fine. Did you get back to your car? P. I don't know. Don't know where. Don't remember. Woke up. Next thing, woke up. Bad dream. Bad dream. Bad dream. Real bad dream. D. And you don't remember how you got home? P. No. Don't want to know. Don't want to know. D. All right. You just remember having a bad dream then. P. Bad dream. D. Okay. But do you think this is the only experience you've ever had like that? P. I don't want to know. I don't want to. I don't want to know. D. Okay. That's fine. You don't have to. You have done very well. I was getting ready to give him back to consciousness, but there was still something remaining. He interrupted me. Terror in the Night, 227, p. Message. Remember. D. What is it you supposed to remember? P. Remember. Messages. Remember. Remember. That's the clue. Remember. D. What do you mean? P. I don't know. D. Do you think they wanted you to remember that message, and to forget the rest? P. More to come. Remember. More to come. Remember? D. What do you mean? P. Remember. More to come. More. More. D. Information or what? P. Fun. D. More fun? Is that what you said? P. That's what they said. That's not what I said. D. Laugh. What do you think they mean? P. A big sigh, then softly, I know. More to come. D. Okay. Well, I think you've done really fine. And I really appreciate you sharing this with me. I gave him suggestions for well-being so this would not bother him, and brought him out of trance. He then sat up on the side of the bed and started discussing fragments of images that remained in his memory. I always encourage my subjects to do this because I know the images will fade very quickly like snatches of dreams upon awakening. D. Then you don't think that was a real owl? P. I don't know why I think that you ask me and I feel like it's not D, but that was what triggered the whole experience, wasn't it? P. No, that was the screen. That covered everything. It put a focus. I don't know why it's important, but something about it allows the conscious mind to focus on that, instead of the blank. It gives something neutral to focus on. Something innocuous or non-threatening. D. Something ordinary within your world, so to speak. Even though it's strange for an owl to dive at a car. P. It wasn't diving. It was simply flying straight along the road. It scared me to death. D. Then that allowed you to focus on it instead of whatever happened afterwards. Don't remember getting home that night? 228. The Keepers of the Garden. P. I don't know if I do or not. I don't remember today. D. Of course, that happened 10 years ago. But except for that strange dream, you didn't remember any of this. P. No. I do now. It feels vaguely familiar. It feels like a memory now instead of a new experience. D. That's the best way to treat it, as a memory, so it won't bother you. Well, I don't know if you had any more experiences like that or if that, or was the only one. P. I don't know. I don't think I want to know any more right now. Not for a while. D. At one point you were angry. It seemed like it was because you knew what they were going to do. P. Well, I did know. D. How did you know? P. I don't know. It just knew. I guess I was angry because I didn't want my little reality changed. It had taken me, what, 21 years to figure out what reality I had, and here it was going to be all changed. And I didn't want that. D, that was where the anger was coming from. P, yeah, I didn't want to change my reality. D, but somehow you knew they were going to do something. P, I guess I knew. I don't know if I knew before or if maybe they were telling me in my mind, but intuitively I knew what was going on. I almost got the feeling, not now, it's too soon. I don't want to do this now. It was almost like somehow I knew at some level that it was going to happen, but I didn't feel I was ready. I was angry because my reality was set. I'd figured out pretty much what I thought life was, and I didn't want to change it. I remember another part after the praying mantis, after the operation or whatever. I went up to the control room. It was like they were saying, well, the work is over. Now you can enjoy yourself for a little while. And I wasn't sure if maybe even the whole damn ship wasn't alive. There was no distinction between machines and living people. I had lost that reality somehow, and I couldn't perceive the difference. How can there be a live machine? And then I was thinking, hell, maybe the whole ship is alive. And it made me nervous. I was getting scared. I thought maybe the thing, the ship knew I was standing on it. Maybe it knew I was standing on it. D, I can see what you mean. That would be very creepy. Terror in the Night, 229. P, it was an uncomfortable feeling. I don't know if it was alive. But I know that for a minute there the thought really disturbed me. This session seemed to upset and disturb Phil. Even after an hour of discussion he still seemed agitated when we parted. It was a difficult concept to accept and apparently he was having trouble analyzing it on many levels. I didn't think he would want to try anything like this again. The information bothered him more than any time we had ever worked together. I almost wished we had not uncovered this, but it was his idea. I felt he would want to leave it alone and not go near this type of topic again. But I was wrong. His curiosity was stronger than his revulsion. Chapter 21, Discovery of Earlier Contacts. Phil had been disturbed by the last session, so I was waiting for him to contact me if he wanted to pursue the UFO question any further. I truly didn't think he would want to. But when he called me a week later he said he had been having some strange dreams. He wondered if they might have some connection with the last session. Perhaps we had somehow triggered something in his subconscious. We arranged a session to explore this. I turned on the tape recorder as he reported the dreams. Phil thought it strange that all of them had occurred around the same time. He would wake up around 3 o'clock in the morning with the memory of the dream firmly etched in his memory. Sometimes I wake up for no reason after one of these important dreams, he remembered, and when I look at the clock it's always 3 o'clock. That seems to be a significant time of mourning, for some reason. One dream concerned his mother and all five of the kids. He saw himself and his brother and sisters as children instead of adults. They were riding in a station wagon through a city somewhere. At this younger time in his life his mother and father were separated. In the next scene he was sitting on some kind of a gurney or cot, in something similar to a doctor's office. The rest of his family were on gurneys in the room, yet they were all unconscious. P, I was talking to a woman. And I felt that what they were doing was very dangerous to me, yet I wasn't afraid of them. It's a complicated feeling to describe. It's like on one level I felt I was in very real danger, but yet on the other hand I wasn't afraid of them because I knew they weren't going to hurt us. There's kind of a 230, Discovery of Earlier Contacts, 231, paradox there, but you know in a dream it's easy to feel stuff like that. This woman said they were harvesting eggs, or I got that from the conversation that they were taking eggs from my sisters. And somehow from the conversation I knew they had taken something from me, and it was half of whatever it was I had. She said it wouldn't hurt me. And I asked, well, what about later on if I want to have kids? And she didn't say anything. Then the next thing I remember in that dream was that I saw this praying mantis type thing again. That was all he could remember about that dream. He then reported three others that were strange, but I did not think them suggestive of real UFO or alien encounters. I agreed to check them all out during the session. He thought these dreams were significant because they started after our first session, and they were not the type he normally had. Often when exploration of this type begins and the door to the past has been opened, memories will sneak through the barrier in the form of dreams. I had been working with UFO abduction cases and I saw a pattern emerging. The different subjects thought they had had an isolated incident, but under hypnotic investigation it was often discovered that they had experiences going back to childhood. For some reason the age around puberty was significant, and many people reported incidents around that age that had been blocked from their memory. As I prepared for this session, I was hoping to discover some other encounters Phil might have had at a younger age. Maybe these would tie in with these dreams he had been having since our last session. But I also hoped we would not encounter anything that would disturb him as much as the last time when the door was first opened into this hidden portion of his life. I used the keyword in our normal procedure. Each time the elevator door opened, I never knew what Phil would see. But I was always able to proceed from wherever the scene began. This time, instead of going to the Three Spires or any of the other familiar locations, he was seeing a scene from his childhood. Without being directed to do so, he had returned to an earlier encounter. It was as though his subconscious thought it was time for him to remember, and had selected that incident for him to view. It was 965 when Phil was 10 years old. He was standing in a field behind his house during the daytime watching a strange object. 232, the keepers of the garden, trees separated him from the house and highway, so no one else could have seen it. He described it as bell-shaped, rounded at the top, broader at the base, and more squat than a bell. The size was perhaps 30 or 40 feet wide. It was resting on legs, and glowing white and luminous. D. What are you doing there? P. I'm talking. Talking with them. His voice was childlike. He was obviously reliving the experience. When this happens, I have to talk to and treat the subject as a child. D. With who? P. With the people inside. They're telling me things. They're standing on the ramp. I'm on the ground. D. What do they look like? P. They're short with big heads and gray skin. But they're real nice. In fact, they're very loving. Very full of love. D. You said they're telling you things? P. Yeah, things about me. Things that I'm gonna do. Things that I'm supposed to do. Things that I will do. And why? Things that are in my future. D. Are they speaking to you? P. No, but I know what they're saying. They're thinking to me. They said I was here for a big reason, an important mission. And the things that happen in my life are to help me on that mission, that purpose. Never to forget or to give up. D. Have they told you what the mission is? P. Yes. It's to help people, because people will be afraid. And they need someone who knows that's going on, someone that people can look up to, and not be afraid. Someone to guide and lead them when they're afraid. D. How did you get out there? P. I walked from my house. D. How did you know to go there? P. I felt it. I just knew. D. If this is daytime, I wonder if other people can see it out there in Feefield. P. I don't know. I can see it. I know who they are, somehow. Like I've seen them before. They're familiar. Somehow I know they're friends, although I don't know why. Sadly, I was sorry. Discovery of earlier contacts. 233. D. P. D. P. D. P. D. P. When they left because I didn't want to stay here. I wanted to go with them. And I cried. Then I went home and took a nap and forgot about them. Then you didn't go on board the ship? No. They said to stay there. They didn't want me on there. I wasn't supposed to. But you weren't afraid of them. Did you forget about them then? Yes. I was supposed to. They said to. That I would. And they just communicated mentally with you? Yeah, they thought to me. Did you see the ship leave? No, I turned around and left, then I looked back and they were gone. They just weren't there anymore. They. knew me. I liked them. D. Was this the first time Thaddeus had seen them? P. No, because I knew them. But I don't remember when or where. Since this was all that comprised that young incident, I decided to proceed. I asked his subconscious if the dream about his family was a real experience or if it were just a dream. He said it had been a dream of a memory, so I instructed him to move to the time that the incident occurred. He immediately began describing a vacation he and his family had taken to Memphis to see the cotton festival on the river. In wonderment through a child's eyes, he told of the various events and the excitement of watching the fireworks over the water. When I asked if anything out of the ordinary occurred, he said nothing happened in Memphis, but he moved ahead to the nighttime trip back. P. I don't know where that was. It must have been a dream. D. Do you think it was a dream? P. No, it wasn't. It was real. I was there. I was the only one awake. The others were afraid, so they went to sleep. But I wasn't afraid. They let me stay awake. I knew who they were. They were my friends. From above. Nice people. But they were scary. D. Where were you when this was happening? P. On the ship. Somewhere off the road. On the trip home from Memphis. They said they needed something. Some stuff. And I said, okay. 234. The keepers of the garden. D. What do they look like? P. Well. Not so bad. Kinda gray. Not much color. D. Do they all look alike? P. No, not the one. I don't like that one. Childish voice. It looks creepy. Sort of like a insect. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's alive or not. It moves. It looks like a machine, but it acts like it's alive. I don't like that one. D. Then what did they do? You said they wanted something? P. Samples. That's all they wanted. Was samples. D. What about the rest of your family? Did they do anything to them? P. No. Not really. Nothing bad. They didn't want to hurt anybody. They just wanted samples. They're okay. D. Did they take samples from your brother and sisters too? P. From my two oldest sisters, from Linda and Gail. They didn't take anything from Kathy or my brother. D. What about your mother? P. No, they didn't take anything from her either. They wanted to take some from me, a specimen, but I wasn't old enough. D. Do you know what kind of samples they took from your sisters? P. Like eggs. D. How they able to do that? P. That thing. It stuck a needle in them. In their stomach. And pulled it out. D. Died it seemed to bother them? P. No. They were asleep. D. Then what happened after that? P. They put us back in the car. Long pause. D. Then did you all wake up or what? P. A big breath, then his voice became very soft and sleepy. I don't know. I went to sleep. And forgot. D. And you didn't tell them about anything that happened? P. No. I forgot about it. I was supposed to. D. I wonder if that was a dream or if it might relate to something that really happened. P. It did. It is interesting to note that when I then asked about the other dreams he had mentioned, his subconscious reported that they were merely normal dreams, although symbolic in nature and containing messages for his conscious mind. I believe if he had been fantasizing, discovery of earlier contacts, 235, he would have included all the dreams, especially since one of them was definitely more exciting, in his report and not focused on one. I believe this adds validity to this one dream being the memory of a true event. When we moved ahead in time, he reported a second, very similar event that occurred a few years later when he was 14. It had also happened on a trip to Memphis. Since his grandmother lived there, the family made regular trips to that city. When the scene came into focus, he immediately found himself again sitting on a gray table. He instinctively knew that the rest of his family were also lying on tables near him. He couldn't see them because his attention was focused on a strange being standing in front of him. When he began to speak, his voice took on the nuances of a younger person. His speech was not as complex as an adult's. He saw the world in simpler terms. He tried to describe the being. P, it's a woman. Sort of a woman. She's not really a woman. She's kind of a woman. D, what do you mean, P? She's not like a regular woman. She's a different kind of a woman. D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P. How is she different? She's nice, but her face is all wrinkled. But women are you wrinkled sometimes. This is different. Her face is like elephant skin, gray and lots of wrinkles. She talks sort of with her eyes. She doesn't really talk, but she tells me things with her eyes when she looks at me. Is she very big? It's hard to say. We're on eye level, and I'm sitting on a table. What other features does she have? Mainly what I see is her eyes. They're kind of almond-shaped. They're different from our eyes. They're just deep. It's like she feels you when she looks at you. D, does she have any hair? P, I'm not sure. All I really notice are the eyes. D, how do you know she's a woman? P, just the way she feels. She just seems like a woman. D, what is she telling you with her eyes? P, not to be afraid. D, why is the rest of their family asleep? 236, the keepers of the garden. P, they weren't asleep because they were scared. She said I was used to this, and that I wouldn't be bothered by it, so I'm awake. If it would bother me, I'd be asleep. D, how did you get there? P, we were driving to Memphis, and we saw this light. I don't remember much. It seems like it was in the road. Seems like they came out to the car. I don't know. D, who were they? P, I don't know. Some people. Or something. I'm not sure what they were. I was afraid. I closed my eyes. But they took us out of the car. And sort of carried us. Somewhere. I don't know where. D, were the others afraid? P, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think anybody said anything. It seems like it was real quiet, D, but now they're asleep and you awake. Then what happens? P, she was talking to me. I don't remember what all she said. She scared me. Something scared me. D, that she said? P, yes. I thought it was going to hurt. It didn't though. But she said it would be okay. They were going to stick me. D, what were they going to stick you with? P, I don't know. Something like a needle. D, where were they going to stick you with the needle? P, long pause, somewhere. I got the feeling that he really knew but didn't want to discuss it. It didn't hurt. She said it would be all right. D, what else happened? P, I got to meet one of the men who was sort of like the pilot. He was real nice. He was laughing. Sort of at me but really with me, because I was afraid. And he knew there was nothing to be afraid of. We laughed together, and I felt kind of silly. It felt good to laugh. D, did he make sounds when he laughed? P, not out loud. But in our minds. Or through our eyes. I don't know. We talked, but I don't remember really talking. D, what did the pilot look like? P, he was more normal than the others. He looked more like us, but his eyes were different. They were kind of slanted more than they should be. But they were okay. They were just different. Discovery of earlier contacts. 237. D, was he more our size? P, yeah. He had hair. Something like that, a jacket, and pants. Never looked down. Seemed important, something light colored. Silver or blonde. He had clothes on. Almost like a vest, or I don't know if he had shoes on or not. I liked him. He was happy. Friendly. He, D, you said the others. Did the others all look like the woman? P, no. They were different, too. I don't remember much about them. I had my eyes closed. But they brought me into the room, and then she came in and started talking. I felt comfortable when she talked to me, so I opened my eyes. D, and they wanted you to meet their pilot? P, yeah. It was kind of important somehow. I guess the whole thing seemed important. I thought it was really neat that they let me do that. Was D, where the pilot? P, he was up front. with his controls.